Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby substituting for Mike Malloy as Mike and Kathy and little Molly off for another day's vacation. I've done it for the last 3 days, and on Monday, Sam Cedar. Always fun. I love Sam Cedar. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number is 800-989-1480. You know, several times during my radio career, I've done full-time talk jobs, and each time when it ended, I always thought, whew, like that. So currently, I'm the public affairs director for three greater media stations in Detroit. That's my full-time employment here in Detroit. And I do some talk shows. I do interview shows. I prepare public service announcements. I do the FCC reports. I talk to the public. I do all of this. And the talk show that I have is on Sunday nights. You can go to my website, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B as in boy, E, peterwerby.com, and see the info on that. And it'd be good to have national folks listening as well. You're going to have to listen on the internet, though. And very frequently during the week, I think, maybe I should get a full-time gig again because there's so much here. I can't do it all in one Sunday night. And, boy, if I was on Wednesday, it doesn't make any difference. This scandal-ridden, corrupt racket, Bushco, that poses as our government does so many things every single day. I'm broadcasting the greater media studios here in Detroit, and someone who's on the air looked at the console and saw, he said, "How many stories do you have there?" I said, "I don't know. I never thought about it." And I can feel my anxiety level rising, not because he recognized it, but because I realize I have so many different stories, or so many different piles. So we counted them up. There was 22 piles, and some of the piles have like six stories. These are all different topics. So for a guy that's ADD, this causes anxiety. So help me out. Focus me, all right? 800-989-1480 for the shy, and also when the lines are filled at 800-989-1480, you can email me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Just when we've gotten to the point where I thought we just couldn't get anywhere with more jokes about Bush and Cheney. Remember our email for like the last 4 or 5 years? Every time you'd open up an email, there'd be some email joke about Bush going up to heaven, or him looking backwards through binoculars or something, on and on and on. I mean, we were so frustrated because we felt so isolated. We really weren't. There were tens of millions of us who knew that Bushco was a lie, that Bushco was corrupt, that Bushco was in the pay of the... He's not even in the pay. I mean, it's not like he's a wealthy man anyways. It's reflexive. He's part of the ruling class. He's part of the power elite. He's part of the plutocracy, right? So it's not like he is doing this for venal corruption. It's not like he knows he's going to get more money. He doesn't need more money. None of these psycho rich people need more money, but they are pathological about wealth and accumulation of wealth. They already have all the power, too, so they understand that wealth equals power, but it's not like if they've got all the power. Right, so it's not like they can get X more billions of dollars and get X more power. There is no more power to get. They've got it all. So our task is to create a culture and a movement of resistance to all of this, to democratize our country. And I don't buy that. Let's get our country back. We never had it. I mean, we had it a little teeny-weeny bit, and we had some guys in there that were a little teeny-weeny bit on our side, because this is what the Democrats do. It's made up of the common people. It's made up ostensibly with the progressive agenda that makes sense for human community, but they, too, they're in the pockets of the big guys. But, all right, so where was it? That it seems we've gotten beyond the capacity to make jokes about Bush and Cheney. Okay, go to my website. And people say, "What are you selling there, man? How come you keep sending people to your website?" Not selling a thing, actually. But I enjoy it myself so much. And here's why I enjoy it. It's not like, it's not a blog. I don't have my opinions there. Everything I have on there, I've either found and just copy and paste, or people, you folks, have sent it in to me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Well, there is a Jay, and some of you may have seen this, so I may be a little late with this because, you know, I didn't like originate it. But there's a Jay Leno interview with Vice President Snarly. This is amazing. It is so great. And then another frightening video right before it, Bush saying zombies are a danger to our children. So that's at Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B as in boy, E, peterwerbe.com. All right, serious stuff now. Although, I mean, I have to make an admission here. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Whoa, wait a minute, dude, you're on the air. You're a talk show host. You know, you're supposed to know everything. In fact, if there's one little chink in your wealth of knowledge, you tumble down, your feet are of clay and all that. Well, I'm talking about the economy. And so all these people that come on television and they say, well, it's a, you know, what's it, an adjustment? No, that's not the word, a correction. It's a correction, or they're always, you know, they're talking about all this stuff. Yeah, I've forgotten it all already. I can't even remember any of the key words because it all is just a bunch of BS. It's an insane system. And I said last night, I'll tell you what's emblematic of the world economic system is the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Total chaos, yet somehow this house of cards seems to be cobbled together. So even when a card starts to fall out, they have now, I guess fortunately for all of us, and certainly fortunate for all the really wealthy guys that are benefiting off the world economic system, they can stop the kind of crashes that happened in 1929 and in the last part of the 19th century. So it says, stocks end amazing session and week, little changed after Fed adds third dose of liquidity. And I was reading this stuff, and I'm thinking, and actually my wife today was saying, what's this all about? And I tried to understand it, I tried to explain it in the most simple way possible because I barely understand what's going on. And I contend they don't either. I mean, they understand aspects of it. They're players, and they know how to play it. But think about this. Stock initially was to fund, to capitalize enterprises in the origins of capitalism that, that didn't have the ability to do it by themselves. So like you and I, we're going to start a dry cleaners, right? And we need $1,000 and all we have is $800. So we get an investor and they put up $200 and we say, okay, when we make profits, we're going to give you 10% on all the returns or whatever. Okay. So that's the way you capitalize investment. And maybe a little bit of it is speculative. Now it's almost reversed. Somebody knows a different figure than that. You tell me. 800-989-1480. So it's all speculation. And so when these ripples come across that are uncontrollable, well, maybe they did control it. The Fed did control it by putting in, they added $19 billion in liquidity to the market Friday morning, then another $16 billion, and finally $3 billion, and that kind of staunched it. This is not an economic system as it was commonly known through most of human history that was there to provide for the needs of the people. That is to say, people grew things, or they hunted things, or they gathered things, and they brought it back. And a lot of times, you know, in tribal society, the distribution of the food had great meaning in terms of kinship and all that. So it all worked. And people had great dinners together. And in the way, it's not even an economic system, but our modern way of looking at it says, yeah, that's what it is. Now, of course, it's just this big crapshoot, this big Las Vegas to enrich the already wealthy. Because I have a 401k, and I even, you know, who knows how much I've lost or made. I have no idea and have no control over it whatsoever. In fact, that is the situation of 98% of the world's population, having no control whatsoever over the key element of life, our economic circumstances. So if we're here, if the wheel of misfortune is missing us, if it is, where we happen to be, and it gets better and better. If you're in the United States, if you're in certain areas, if you happen to be Caucasian, if you happen to be male, on and on. You know, it kind of bids up as you go up the economic pyramid, then up the class structure. But you can the wheel of misfortune can hit you real badly, the way it hits maybe half the world's population, in a world that has tremendous wealth, that has the wealth that no one has to live as they do in Africa or South America or Asia or Mexico or any of that. It's a system that works for a very, very small percentage of the population. And we're on the hamster wheel. We have no idea how to get off, do we? I mean, we got some ideas, some schemes, a little bit to make it a little more equal. But we got to start thinking of something before these people wreck it all. They're on their way. All right, Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Your thoughts, please. 800-989-1480. This is the Nova M Radio Network. The sound of bullets flying through the air is followed by a cry, and the cry is, what will we do? What will we say? When it's the end of the game that we play, will we crumble into the dust, my friend? Or will we start this game over again? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike on the Nova M Radio Network. Number here, 800-989-1480. Talking some about this, well, I guess it didn't melt down, did it? People say about the stock market that it was a necessary correction. I wonder how many people get screwed because of this all across the world. One other little aspect of our economy that seems to have disappeared is that the Chinese government has begun this concerted campaign of economic threats against us, and they said that they may liquidate all of its holding of U.S. Treasury bonds if Washington imposes trade sanctions to force a yuan reevaluation, their currency, which is way overvalued. Who knows what in the hell this means? Well, the cost of money, money's relationship one to another. This is an insane world system, you know? People say, I don't want one world government. Well, what we got is a world system that is absolutely insane. And it's estimated that that China holds $900 billion in a mix of U.S. bonds, and that we borrow millions and millions and millions every day for operating funds. This is what Bushko, the racket, has done, has driven us into debt to fight this war, this illegal war and occupation, and to give tax breaks to its rich buddies, that now we are a debtor nation, and we have set us up for the possibility of economic collapse. But what are they thinking? Well, you know that old saying they used to have like 100 years ago, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich? I mean, you'd say to these guys, if you're so rich, how come you're not smart? All right, let's take some calls. 800-989-1480. Lots to talk about, too. And we'll see what you're up to, though. Here's Bobby listening to The Quake in Petaluma, California. Hey, it's Peter Werby on The Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, hi. Yeah, you know, what you're just talking about relevant to the question I was going to ask you. First of all, in the stock market, if you want to sell your stocks and nobody wants to buy it, who gets stuck with it? Or how are they always able to sell stocks?
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what. I have a friend of mine who's an attorney. He's my tax attorney. He does my taxes. I mean, I probably make less than any of his clients, right? And so in 1998, he told me to take my pitiful little 401k from work here and to put it all into tech stocks. And I said, I shouldn't say his name. I said to him, hey, they're not making any money. This is, in the market's going up and up and up and up. And he says, trust me, transfer it all. You'll make a fortune. So I talked to my wife. We said, let's leave it where it is, real conservative. He lost like $4 million, which was only half his portfolio. And actually, in 1999, my little 401k made 1%. So.
Yeah.
So he could explain all of this to you. He could tell you the fluctuations of the market and all these phrases, you know, subprime and liquidity and all that I have no idea what the hell it's about.
Well,
but
see, that,
who is the better market advisor? Mr. Smart Guy, Rich Guy, or your old pal Pete?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the question I was leading up to, which probably we wouldn't be asked to answer either, is what would happen if a large percentage of Americans opted out of their 401ks and said, look, we don't want to play this game anymore because of the war and all that. And, we cash turned it into cash or,
Bobby, the ability to organize anything like that, and then that's the problem, like with boycotts. We say, boycott Gulf Oil or, boycott Halliburton or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just not any real way to make it happen. And I'll tell you, if you said to me, I'm not going to be the first guy to do it. I'm not going to cash out, pay 25% tax, and then, whatever. Maybe we should all take it out. Bobby, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Thanks for joining me. Here's Dwayne listening to The Quake in Mill Valley. Hey, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. Hey, earlier in the show you mentioned about focusing, and, before the next 3 hours of problems keep coming up, I'd like your listeners to be aware of this citizen-initiated congressional legislation that we think addresses almost all the problems that come up every night, including the economic problem you just talked about.
What's that?
I'm going to quickly describe the legislation. It would establish a National Service Corps. If it were passed in Congress this year and we go back to Congress August 26th through September 1st to talk directly with legislative directors about it, it would ramp up over 7 years by about 140,000 Americans a year until by the seventh year you had 1 million Americans voluntarily serving in their choice of Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, Habitat, Doctors Without Borders, Head Start, Red Cross, International Rescue, Oxfam, Mercy Corps, and State Conservation Corps with a mechanism in the bill.
You were reading, weren't you?
No.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm impressed.
No. With a mechanism in the bill that allows other smaller organizations like FINCA or a community organization to ask for the best resources we have, Americans to volunteer and do things either at home or abroad, their choice, again, where they want to do it. And the financial incentives to get them to do this for young people, for those people who say they ought to earn their education, they get, at the completion of 2 years of service, 2 years of community college plus 2 years of state college tuition for baby boomers, and this is geared for 20 through 70-plus-year-olds to go do this for a year or two. You could put that in your medical savings account, the cash equivalent, plus about a $5,000 or $6,000 readjustment allowance, which is what a Peace Corps volunteer gets, or you could use it as a home down payment.
Wow. All right, Dwayne, I got to go because the music's coming up, but let's see what people think about that. I have some good ideas in there, some I've got some problems with. I'll talk about it when I come back. Thank you. The NOVAM Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby here with you. What do you think about Dwayne's idea? Volunteer service, but coming up with some at the end. 800-989-1480. Right back.
We call the ship they call the Mayflower. Come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the age's most uncertain hours and sing an American.
Santana, the NOVAM Radio Network. I started as a DJ, you'll have to excuse me. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. Dwayne called in right before the break, and a couple people have said, hey, you cut people off so quickly. When the music comes up, I got to go. I don't have any choice. This is the way we pay the bills around here. So he got a little short shrift at the end there. But essentially he was talking about a national service program. We've heard this before, where young people could enroll and begin to do the things that have been neglected so badly in this country over the last, particularly 7 years, but even in decades before that. Well, I got a little bit of a problem with that. And I'm my solution is probably a lot more unrealistic than Dwayne. So Dwayne may be on to something. I always like to, you know, like you suggest the most radical thing and then the people want to compromise with it. And this isn't a criticism of Dwayne or the program or anything. But a lot of these volunteer jobs that people are suggesting used to be union, adult, well-paying jobs that have been completely eroded and erased in many cases. And here's what we need. Here's what we need to fix this country, and we could extrapolate from here to the rest of the world. But let's just talk about the old U.S. of A. The Congress, everybody except about 14 people in the House, just voted about $500 billion for the war budget. Absolutely unnecessary. It's more than the entire war budget of all the nations of the world combined. What we have to do is immediately cut the war budget in half. Because with the way things are, I mean, they're chaotic enough in the world, we can't just like say, oh, okay, we're going to disarm. But, I mean, and this is a pretty complicated process. All the people with nukes, all the rivalries that have come traditionally with the nation-state system and imperial rivalries and all this stuff. So it can't be just undone in a day or with a sweep of a hand. But we don't need to spend $500 billion. That's the military-industrial complex. That's the racket. That's the reigning racket that takes our wealth, transfers it to the government, which then gives it away to its buddies in the war industry, right? So that would free up hundreds of billions of dollars. We could have a national health program and employ people all at decent wages. Then, as I said last night, we got to put into place confiscatory taxes for the ultra wealthy for two reasons. One, they're not doing anything with it. If you're worth like $5 billion or $10 billion or $40 billion or $50 billion, you're not doing anything with it. It's just sitting there, right? So that becomes all freed up as well. You eliminate or you start a tax deduction of $50,000 on our income tax. And that means, of course, that a good portion of the population doesn't pay any tax whatsoever. But that frees up consumer spending and generates movement within the economy, not the big ticket items like A-bombs and the big planes and what have you, but people going and buying sweaters and cars and what have you. So where am I going with all of this? So what we have then is the wherewithal to expand the services for us, the people, that we can hire through the federal government or how the state governments, the city government, and the expansion of, first off, why don't we repair everything? Like how many 70,000 bridges that are in disrepair create a school system that's worthy of a country that used to say it was number one. If you can think of something that the United States is number one in still that's good, please let me know. 800-989-1480. We're lucky if we're number seven or eight in most of the things that really matter to the average person. We can say build modern schools, have classes that are 12 and 14, transportation systems that are non-polluting, and on and on and on. I mean, I can't just think of everything right off the top of my head, and that's what I'm doing. But think of a wish list of a perfect society and know that the wealth is here for us to utilize that, to make that dream real. The reason that it's not there, there used to be a saying in the 1960s, you can't drink clear cold water till you get the hog out of the stream. And we've got a big hog in the stream that's taking the wealth of the nation, the wealth of the world, and concentrating it, using it for political power and military power that harms people. And also the concentration of wealth worldwide in this country harms people in starvation and in disease and all of that. So that's where we have to go. I know this doesn't speak to the smaller level, the good-hearted proposal that Dwayne was thinking about. But here's another proposal. This is coming too. Here's David Rovics.
The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls. We're all going off to war. You can be the next to die for Halliburton. Hold the cord, drape the flag, and draw the curtain. You can pull the trigger for the Exxon Corporation. Watch the cities burn around you while you're standing at your station. You can shoot the children as they throw stones at your Humvee. You can die for Kerry or maybe for Dick Cheney. The draft is coming. It's blowing down the door, so pack your bags, boys and girls.
My buddy, David Rovics, you can go to David Rovics, R-O-V-I-C-S. That's called The Draft is Coming. And David Rovics, all of his songs are available down to be able to download for free. He's been called the Phil Oakes of this generation, which embarrasses him greatly. But, hey, many of you have been emailing this. Frequent tours for U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan have stressed the all-volunteer force and made it worth considering a return to the military draft, said Bush's new war advisor. I like that. They're not calling him defense advisor. You know, the people, the guy they used to call Gates and the evil man before him, Rumsfeld, he's the Secretary of Defense. Well, all, I think, up till like 1945 or something, he was called the Secretary of War or Secretary for War. Army Lieutenant Douglas Lute said in an interview with National Public Radio, hey, what we used to call nationalistic Pentagon radio in the lead up to the Iraq war, on All Things Considered, which we used to call Few Things Considered. He says, I think it makes sense to really consider it. And I can tell you, this has always been an option on the table. But ultimately, this is a policy matter between meeting the demands for the nation's security by one means or another. Well, when people are not joining, right now, apparently, that the people who say they plan to join the military has hit an historic low, 16% by the Pentagon's own surveying. And I always wonder, who would do this? Well, they're offering lots of money. They got this new deal where they're going to offer what they call a buffet of incentives, including up to $45,000 tax-free that they accrued during their career to help buy a home or build a business. And an Associated Press review of the increasingly aggressive recruiting offerings found the Army is not only dangling more sign-up rewards, it's loosening rules on age and weight limits, education, drug and criminal records. Do I have to really say what this is producing? Despite spending nearly $1 billion last year on recruiting bonuses and ads, that in a number of months, so the last couple of months, they haven't met their goals, have they? Let's see. Less obvious factors have also decreased the recruitment pool. That's too much up there. They include higher obesity rates, more people diagnosed with mental health conditions such as attention deficit disorder. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with ADD. I mean, I got a job and I have it. More criminal citations due to the increase of the drinking age from 18 to 21. And so Michael Principal Deputy Undersecretary of Defense, said the numbers of people who meet our enlistment standards is astonishingly low. So they're going to decrease the standards. Why not? Here's what they're going to do. Increasing to 20,000 the bonus for troops who join by September 30th, raising the enlistment age to 42. What does that sound like? What big war about 65 years ago in what nation did they start drafting middle-aged men? It was desperation. Allowing recruits to come in with non-offensive tattoos on their hands and neck. So, I mean, if you got swastikas on your neck, buddy, you probably still aren't coming in. $2,000 bonus to Army soldiers who refer a new recruit. Enlisting recruits who don't meet weight standards and must trim down in their first year. Advertising that targets potential recruits' parents. Increasing the number of recruits with general education diplomas rather than regular high school diplomas. I mean, I graduated high school when I was 20, and I never graduated college. You can get a GED. Creating a more pleasant boot camp environment. No more maggot! No more of that. That's gone. Sending gung-ho soldiers fresh from boot camp or war zones back to their hometowns to visit old friends and schoolmates to promote the Army. Hey, this is great fun over here in Iraq. You got to come over and join us. We get to... Increasing to more than 15% the number of Army and Army Reserve troops given waivers for medical and moral reasons or for positive drug and alcohol screen tests. Yikes. Tyka Petty of Philadelphia said she was aware of the risks when she signed up in late July, but she said with her $20,000 bonus, she plans to buy a car and pay off a debt. Wow, it's come to that in America. in Bush's America, huh? How much more corrupt? Yeah, here, Ozzy Osbourne singing Crazy Train. That's the train we're on, folks. We got to get off at the next stop. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. Your calls when we come back. David Byrne talking heads on the Nova M Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike at 800-989-1480. And let's go to our phones. Here's Jesse in KSLD. Why can't I say that? KLSD. It's the first time I've ever heard those three letters together my whole life in San Diego. Jesse, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man.
Just drop the K, brother. Hey, Yeah, drop the K.
There you go. Jesse on LSD in San Diego. You're right. There you go. That's easy.
If 9/11 was the inside job, then that would mean the financial policy of the Bush administration after 9/11 was part of a plan, which would mean that his mismanagement of his scheme of ripping off Iraq that he wasn't able to pull off is now going to start costing his brother Republican some serious change.
Yeah.
But what, for me, the jury's still out, molten steel three weeks after the building went down while they're dragging it out with the energy involved with the jet fuel doesn't add up. So I'm kind of on the side that it was an inside job.
Well, Jesse, that John F. Kennedy was killed 44 years ago this November, and people are still debating it, and there's still books being put out on it. So I think this is going to be in public discussion for a long time. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Sarge's on KPHX in Phoenix. Hey, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You're with me. Hi.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? Long time no talk to, man.
Oh, Sarge, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, one from Mississippi. I now live in Phoenix. Katrina just got too rough, and I had to get the hell out.
Yeah.
It's even worse now than it was the day after the storm, so I had to cash it in and move out here. Yeah. And I'm glad I do. I love Phoenix. But what I want to talk about, the insurance companies and other companies, corporations, it's remarkable what they're doing to us now, and they control so much of it. I just recently found out they have Indiana's considering laws that will make it where if you're obese or if you don't have a right diet or whatever BS they come up with, that you can't get insurance. And that's going to solve our obesity problems. It's going to solve our bad health problems. Make it where more people can't get insurance.
Well, Sarge, I would think that would be coming from the insurance companies themselves. I can't imagine they can make a state law about that.
It's actually turning into a state law. Someone notified me of it today. They found it on the internet, and it's being considered in Indiana, I believe it was.
Well,
isn't that remarkable?
I got to say, very little would surprise me. Thank you, Sarge. Thanks for bringing that up, and I will check it out and see. Can you imagine that? But it doesn't matter either way. I mean, if people are, what's the word, morbidly obese even? Again, that's a health problem that should be addressed by the system. Everybody knows you're not supposed to be overweight. So lecturing people and all these cockamamie diets and all that. The fact that it's at an epidemic level means there ought to be some massive social intervention. I don't mean, you know, grabbing people that are overweight and saying, you can't eat this or whatever. But I mean, why now? Why are we as a people suffering this? I think Michigan or Detroit, where I live, has got one of the highest obesity rates in the country. And there's a lot of shame connected with it. And if you think about it, remember the shame that used to be connected with alcoholism, because people said, they're a drunk. Why don't they just stop drinking? Well, they couldn't do it. I mean, they were addicted to it. And we found a number of intervention ways to deal with it. Maybe we ought to do the same thing with obesity. Here is Ron in listening to The Quake in San Francisco. Ron, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Ordering bastard!
He leaves the country, he gets arrested.
Ooh. What? Dick Cheney, too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What are you guys talking about? Hey,
he
what? What?
The hang.
Okay, where are you going to say goodbye? I can't. He may have been saying, did I hear the word, Ian, did you hear the word Hague in there? Oh, okay. Is that a word we can't say? Okay, all right. I thought he said Hague because that's where the International Criminal Court is, and that I have on my website, the Iraqi death toll from Bush's monstrous war reaches 1 million. Impeach? Bring him and the rest of Bush Co. before the International Tribunal for War Crimes. March them all out of there, the whole gang of them. Frog march them out in cuffs. Take them to an international tribunal and try them for what? This monstrous deed that's occurred. In fact, we're going to talk a little about impeachment when we come back, or what that would all mean. Let me see if what we got for time. Yeah, we can do it. Here is Vern listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. He's in Minnesota. Vern, you got to do it real quick, though. We're almost at a break.
Well, I'm just sitting here talking about this bridge that collapsed last week up in Minnesota.
Yeah, terrible.
I just think about that. I was a mile and a half going across that bridge.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, think about that. Think about all the people that just left the World Trade Center, all the people that came there. It's all just in milliseconds, isn't it? Just think of a car accident or something like that. If you would have been going 1 mile an hour slower or faster, it wouldn't have happened.
I just got to think back that 11 years ago, the Army Corps of Engineers went in and looked at that bridge and found it to be in need of repair, and nothing was done.
Well, that's what we found out. Where's our money going? It's going to Bush Co. It's going to the military industrial complex instead of to where it's going. All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about Cindy Sheehan and impeachment, what that would mean. Cindy Sheehan says she's going to run for Nancy Pelosi's seat. I want to get your fix on that. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Call in now and you can listen to the news and whatever through on the phone, on hold. 800-989-1480. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, sitting in for Mike tonight. Mike and Kathy and little Molly off on a well-deserved vacation. On Monday, Sam Cedar will be sitting in for Mike, so that'll be a good show. I'm looking forward to listening to that. Thanks to all of you who have been so hospitable to me over the last few days. This is our second hour. In the first hour, we were talking about this crap game called The Economy. And, is the draft coming back? I mean, a number of things. We're all ADD on this bus, or maybe I shouldn't say that about you guys. At least I am. And a mix of topics. And our wonderful producer in Phoenix, Ian Huff, said at one point, do you want me to, screen the calls so they stay on topic? I said, I don't know. No matter. They and me are all over the board, so let's go with that. Our next caller is going to talk about this national service idea that was suggested by Dwayne a little while ago, and we will talk about that, too. The idea that we could have hundreds of thousands of volunteers providing services to the United States that were so woefully lacking. And I said, I like the idea, I like the spirit of it, but what we ought to be doing is paying people union wages to do that work, to rebuild our country, to revitalize it, to expand the education system, to fix all the infrastructure, to make a system of an incredible system of transportation, of rail and subways and, I don't know, ferries across the Great Lakes where I live and all that. But as I said, I wanted to talk about Cindy Sheehan's candidacy for the House seat held by Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi representing the district in San Francisco, heavily Democratic, heavily liberal, heavily left, in fact. And Sheehan gave Pelosi warning. She said that she intended to run as an independent against Pelosi if Pelosi did not move to impeach Bush by July 23rd. Deadline's over. So she has announced today that she is going to run. She says that Pelosi has protected the status quo of the corporate elite and lost touch with the people in her district. And she said most of whom want American troops out of Iraq now. She cited her son, Specialist Casey A. Sheehan of the Army, as her inspiration for the bid. She was crying. I don't know how many of you heard that on other programs. Very touching. And Casey Sheehan was killed in Iraq in 2004. She said she would run as an independent on a platform of universal health care, making college affordable. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, too. We could use our money for would if we confiscated the immense wealth of the elite and also have so free college for everybody as well, just like we have high school. Daniel Ellsberg, another national hero, just like Cindy Sheehan, the man who exposed the lies, and it's interesting that they're paired like that, that exposed the lies of the Vietnam War with the Pentagon Papers. This is interesting. He said she should her oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And so what happens if Bush and Cheney are impeached? Well, here's what Daniel Ellsberg said, and this is at commondreams.org, commondreams.org. I hope a lot of you go to that site. It's a great source for information. And Daniel Ellsberg says, if we can induce her to do that is to uphold and defend the Constitution, then a year from now, Cindy Sheehan should be running for an open seat, right, against a brand-new incumbent appointed by a Republican governor. Nancy Pelosi, third in line for succession when Bush and Cheney are impeached and removed, will be in the White House. Nancy Pelosi will be President Pelosi. That will, as it happens, leave an open field for Cindy. I like that. Of course, what people fear, always with independent or third-party candidacies, is it'll throw the election to the Republican. And there's the phenomenon, of course, the vile Lieberman example as well. When a grassroots movement, and this could happen in Pelosi's district, when a grassroots movement threw out the old war horse Lieberman, the equivocator, the pro-war a guy who calls himself a Democrat only through a grave misunderstanding of the term, got defeated in the primary. Of course, he's really Republican. He was elected by the Republicans as an independent. Cindy Sheehan, I heard, who was it? I think it was, it couldn't be Ned Schultz. It was must have been Tom Hartman today. Who said just what a wonderful person she is and how warm she is. I just was walking down the street in Caracas, Venezuela. Let me see, when was it? January 06 it was when I went to the World Social Forum there. And I saw Cindy Sheehan. And starting off all of this as a rock and roll DJ, I've been around a lot of prominent rockers and all this. I'm not real impressed. It's just people that can sing real well. So, I mean, people, they see like a rock star and they almost start stuttering. They're just, you know, guys, gals that can sing or play the guitar. But she is extraordinarily impressive as a person, a model of an ethical, responsible citizen of the planet. And I can't believe I did this. I said, "Hi, Cindy. I'm Peter Werby." And she said, "Hi, it's so nice to meet you." And it was so genuine. And I was with a friend of mine, and I said, Can I have my picture taken with you? I've never done anything like this in my life. I've, you know, been in rooms, like I say, with big rock stars and all that. Never would occur to me to say, you know, can we take a photograph together? And I feel even stupider saying that if you want to see it, nah, never mind, never mind. If you want to see it, I'm not going to even, if you want to see it, email me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com, and I'll send you the link on my site, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E.com. All right, now I feel really embarrassed because I'm making out like I'm modest and probably sounds like I'm bragging. All right, so let's go to Red. Red's listening on KSAC in Sacramento, and he wants to comment about this national service idea. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Peter, how are you?
Doing great.
I'm so glad to be hearing you, and I just wish that KSAC here in Sacramento will put you on their venue. I've been listening to Mike Malloy for years.
He's great. He's
and,
the greatest.
I'm also just very impressed with your program these last days, and hope that you can get here in our town. Listen, two top things. My focus is national service, but two quick things. One is Cindy Sheehan entering the primary, at least, will put some tough questions to Pelosi. And I think, if nothing else, that's worth the journey. That has to happen. We didn't do that with Feinstein, and we can see what happened as she got farther and farther from her own constituency.
Yeah, she should form a party with Lieberman.
Yeah, well, you know, that's because we didn't put the tough questions to her.
Yeah,
but I hope that Cindy's entry will force Pelosi to start talking about some issues that we have with her. And on the Daniel Ellsberg thing, he made a speech the other night, I can't remember where, and the most remarkable thing at the end of his speech, after he talked about the horrors of his persecution by the government over the Pentagon Papers, he said, "The only thing I regret is that I," and he exhorted the 100 or 1,000 people who are working in government now who know what's really happening to come forward. He said, "Because the only thing I regret is that I didn't speak out sooner."
Yes.
I could have maybe saved thousands of lives by doing it.
He carries a lot of guilt with him about
it. Yeah,
that.
He's a remarkable man.
He is indeed.
Okay, to national service. You said what you were saying was a little unreal. I'd like to up the ante a little bit because it connects the proposal I've made after years and years of being ADD on the matter. Has really connected some dots for me. On the subject of national service, at the front end, I connect it to citizenship, and at the back end, I connect it to economic security, and here's how I do it. Citizenship would not be a birthright.
Okay, 60 seconds, because then we got to go to the break.
Citizenship would not be a birthright. You would have to do somewhere between 2 and 4 years of national service to become a citizen. You could be a resident and not be a citizen. That would, have some other things. But you would have to do your service, and you would have to work in one of the essential services of the basic necessities of life: transportation, health, information, education, food, production. You would have to work in one of those for a few years. You would work enough so that you would come out the end of it with a guarantee of those basic necessities in any time of need. You would do away with welfare. You had simply earned it so that after that, you would have a right to be paid for your labor, and that labor would be the guarantee that you would never have to work again in fear of having the necessities of life taken away from you.
All right. Thank you, Red, because as soon as that music comes up, we got to take the break.
Well, that's the idea in a nutshell.
All right, let's
see. On the one side, you earn it, and after that, it's not welfare. You will always have a safety net under you because you earned it.
Thank you, Red. All right, we'll be right back on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. This is the NovaM Radio Network. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Judy, Gary, Jeff, and Charlie, because a lot of people get ADD on me and hang up. That'll make these guys stay, I think. All right, we'll be right back. Hang with us.
A little AC/DC on the Nova M Radio Network. Here's the chorus. I don't know if you understand that Australian accent. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. I'm going to start giving the call letters here in Detroit where I work at the Classic Rock Station, right? Done dirt cheap, right. But that's not the Bushco theme song. They don't do dirty deeds dirt cheap, do they? Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. Red just responded to Dwayne's idea of national service. The only thing I didn't like about it was the have, that we would have to do it. As I said, most of what should be done in this country ought to be done as a matter of well-paid national employment. Union wages, union protection, union pensions. I also brought up the thing about Cindy Sheehan, who is announced her candidacy for Nancy Pelosi's seat, and she's going to run as an independent. She said that Pelosi had till the 23rd in order to start the impeachment proceedings against Bush. If she didn't do it, she is toast. So Daniel Ellsberg says, hey, that'd be great. Impeach Bush and Cheney. Pelosi becomes president. The seat's open. Cindy's in the House. Sounds good to me. What do you think? 800-989-1480. Let's see. Here is a good question from Charlie. He's listening on the Internet in Pennsylvania. Charlie, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You got a great question. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter Werby.
Hi.
Okay. So, in America, when the financial markets get a little creepy, out of nowhere, the Fed can just come out with, $36 billion just today, like right now today.
Right.
But for things like infrastructure, we bounce that over to the Congress and say, oh, Congress needs to appropriate money. They didn't pass spending bills. We'll get around to it, whatever. It right. just strikes me as hypocritical that we can cough up, $36 billion just to rescue the financial markets, but we have no money for anything good.
Well, I mean, right now, the way things are structured, Charlie, of course, if they didn't, that this whole S-House would collapse, right?
Well, that's the thing. We can't massage money for too long before the money disintegrates, and, well...
Well, they're always blackmailing us. That's the deal. They'd say, well, wait a minute. If we didn't prop up these markets, there would be a general collapse. You don't want that to happen, do you, Charlie?
Yeah. All I hear, by the way, even on Dutch World TV news is Black Monday, Black Monday, Black Monday. Oh, no, Black Monday.
Yeah, well, this coming Monday.
Yes.
Ooh, that's scary.
Isn't that great?
My wife said, do you think we should take all our money out of our 401k? I said, it takes two weeks for it to get withdrawn. So
how many fees do you have to pay to do that, too? I'm sure that...
Yeah. Well, actually, you pay like 25% tax, but whatever. All right, Charlie, thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate it. 800-989-1480. Here's Judy. She's listening on the Internet in Boston, Massachusetts. I guess we're banned in Boston because you have to listen on the Internet. But welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Peter. It's really nice for these past 3 nights to be listening to you.
It's been a ball.
And I just went to your website. I was very impressed. I like it, too, as much as you do.
Well, thank you.
But one of the things that I found on it almost made me fall out of my seat.
What's that?
It was an article you had printed from Wicked Protest about Bush's secession plan.
Oh.
Is this for real?
You mean that in the...
They have it all set up.
Yeah, I can't find it. It's here somewhere. I mean, in other words, that Bush has his executive order that he appoints himself as the guarantor of constitutional government in the event of a natural or man-made catastrophe.
No. This is in case if they think that they're about to be impeached. How does it work?
Oh, yeah, right. I don't know.
Bush will step down. Bush will step down. Cheney will become president. Cheney will pardon Bush for anything he ever did in his whole life, and then he'll have a blood clot or something.
That website has every webmaster says, Pete, you got too much stuff on there. I can't even remember everything that's on there. I do remember
one
that.
One of the funny Bush pictures that I clicked on, but I can't tell you which one it is now.
Yeah. Did you watch the videos of the Jay Leno interview of Vice President Snarley?
I didn't get there yet, no.
That's right on the front page.
There's so much stuff here.
There is.
It's great. But this thing, I mean, do you really think that they have... It says, secret documents totaling over 900 pages of legal opinions and strategy details.
Well, Judy, here's what I think, and as we can hear the music coming up, means we got to go. But I think these people are capable of absolutely anything. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for appreciating my website. It's Peter Werbe, WERBE.com. It's also an interview with Bush where he says zombies are the biggest danger to our children. Give us a call. We'll answer it when we come back. 800-989-1480. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. What 80s hair band is that? Twisted Sister, Ian? It is Twisted Sister? What? Okay. He says, yeah. All right. Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. The call-in number is 800-989-1480. We're all over the place, but we ain't going to take it anymore. One of the people that says they're not going to take it anymore is Cindy Sheehan, who said she's running against Nancy Pelosi. People are weighing in on that. I want to just comment on one article, and we'll get right to your calls. This was in August 10th, New York Times. Federal effort on web obscenity shows few results. I wonder who writes their headlines. Tom Rogers, get this. Tom Rogers, he's a retired Indianapolis detective. He toils away most days in his suburban home office, reviewing sexual websites and other internet traffic to see whether they qualify as obscene material whose purveyors should be prosecuted by the Justice Department. You heard right, but it gets better. His work is financed by a Justice Department grant initially provided through a congressional earmark inserted into a spending bill by, gee, I know this is going to surprise you, Republican of Virginia, Frank R. Wolf, the representative from Virginia. He gets paid for that. He gets paid for watching porn. And they're horrified, of course. Although, I got to say, I have to admit, once in a while I've looked at porn on the Internet. It's a little hard not to. I mean, you get pop-ups, and it's amazing. And what's amazing, of course, is the number of people involved in it, the revenue that it generates. The money that, probably a lot of you know this, that the pornography industry or the adult sexual sex industry generates is greater than all professional sports combined. So it's big business. And there's tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people involved in it. Because when you're looking at it, and I know, you know, probably only 0.1% of you guys ever look at pornography online. But when you see it, you're looking at the participants. But think about this. And believe it or not, when I look at it, I also think, well, wait a minute. There's a cameraman. There's a sound man. There's a producer. There's a director. You know, this is jobs in the industry. And I don't get too far. Anyway. So there's a grant of about $150,000 a year. It's helped pay for, all of a sudden, all these people are emailing, I want that job. Can you imagine every single day? Probably some of you do it for free, right? Some of you surf sexual websites for free. So the idea of getting Tom Rogers' job and looking at it for pay, you probably are thinking it couldn't get any better than that. But what they're supposed to do is harvest and review complaints about obscene matter on the Internet that citizens register on the Justice Department website. in the last few years, 67,000 citizens' complaints have been deemed legitimate under the program and passed on to the Justice Department and federal prosecutors. What kind of busybodies are these? What are they doing? They're surfing the net. After they get their jollies off, they go to this website. I think it's on here. Well, I saw it somewhere. Oh, obscenitycrimes.org. Obscenitycrimes.org. Well, so they've referred. So here's $150,000 of tax money goes to pay this guy's salary for him to surf sex websites. And he gets, 67,000 citizen complaints. The number of prosecutions under George W. Bush's administration, Justice Department, is zero. Zero. They've done nothing because they know there's really nothing prosecutable, if that's a word. The department website invites citizens to report material that they believe is obscene so it can be investigated and perhaps prosecuted. Clicking on the site to make a report takes the user to obscenitycrimes.org, which is run by Morality and Media, the grant recipient. We could report all of these Republican sites as being obscene. Now, get this. Morality and Media, get ready for a shock, is a conservative religious group that has worked since 1962 to rid the world of pornography and whose headquarters is improbably on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, it says in the New York Times article. Well, there are a couple of things here. How in the hell, under the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says that there should be no establishment of religion, is $150,000 going to this geek, this Tom Rogers, that sits and looks at sexual websites trying to figure out, is that obscene? Does it have any redeeming social value? I mean, if he's in New York, what are the community standards? Probably the pornography is way below or way above community standards or something. I don't know if that makes any sense. But the problem is it's going to a conservative religious group. And here, in 1962, some of you people that, say, were teenagers or adults in 1962, think how much pornography there was in 1962, a lot of, whiz-bang comics or some what they used to call smokers, Playboy and Hustler and playing cards with Betty, whatever her name was. That's it. So since 1962, when they've had as their task to rid the world of pornography, I think they've lost the fight. Well, let's see. Although the Justice Department seems not to take obscenitycrimes.org very seriously, the website suggests that prosecutors scrutinize the complaint so carefully that it warns people considering filing a complaint that false statements could expose the filer to federal criminal prosecution. Oops, all right, so don't report any Republicans as being obscene. Would-be complainants are also advised not to trawl for obscene websites, noting that, quote, men are particularly vulnerable to pornographic addiction. Identifying Internet smut, the site advises, is best left to the professional law enforcement personnel. I don't believe this. This has got to be a joke. And it's not. These people, these conservatives, what is this, these conservative religious groups, they are such a pack of whack jobs and psychos. I just can't even believe that they have the slightest bit of credibility whatsoever. Let's have compassion for them. These people are such a pack of twistoids. Leave it to the professionals. Leave it to Tom Rogers, who gets $150,000 a year for surfing sexual websites. Oh, man. All right. 800-989-1480. That's the number here on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Wait a minute. Where was this? Here. This is Rich listening on Sirius Satellite Radio in Youngstown, Ohio. Hey, Rich. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You want to change jobs?
Yeah. Hey, I think Cindy Sheehan's got the right idea. I think we should, over the next three election cycles, just vote all non-incumbent. And maybe if we get all new people in there. If you look at the way the president's approval rating is at only 30%, even if we do get Republican majority or a Democratic majority, we're going to be 70% our side on the issues.
Sure. But here, let me be real clear on one thing. The value of Cindy Sheehan's candidacy is She is backed with a coherent social movement. She's a product of this group of similar thinking people. People like, I suspect, you and me and most of the listeners to the Nova M Radio Network. But what we got to get away from are the personalities, because every time we put our trust in this politician or that politician, the real movements of this country that have sent people to Congress that have acted authentically for the people have always been those people that represents these movements of reform or revolution or resistance or whatever, and that's what we need. Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate your call. Whoop, got rid of him a little too quickly, didn't I? Gary on Winds in Florida. Gary, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Peter.
Hi.
I heard you say earlier the word war criminal in The Hague.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminded me of something I've heard a couple of times now, that George Bush has purchased a couple of 100,000 acres in Paraguay. Have you ever heard about that?
I have, and I've never really trace that down. You know, you got to be careful. There's a number of things that appear on the internet that sound. I mean, we suspect Bush of absolutely everything, right? I mean, if we had a report that he was involved in cannibalism, we'd probably be sending it out to our friends.
Oh, that's Cheney.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You know, Cheney's the worst president in American history, and Bush is the second worst.
So you have no knowledge of this?
No, I've heard that. I've heard that same report. I can't imagine why he did that or has done it unless it's an investment.
Well, but here's what I think.
But Paraguay is no longer run by the fascist Stroessner. I mean, it's a democratic country now, isn't it?
I don't know. But here was my thought.
Who hears about it anymore? Go ahead.
He's going to ruin this country and move there.
Well, maybe. Yeah, where else? Where else
exactly.
could he go?
Exactly. And it might be a hideout, you know, like Brazil.
Oh, I know what it is. There's no Paraguay was our ally, the you know, one of the bastions of the free world, the dictator Stroessner down there, pal of the U.S. Had a lot of Nazi friends. I think what it is, I think the as I remember the story, is that Paraguay doesn't have extradition treaty with the United States. So when Bush is finally indicted here in the United States for all varieties of crimes, when they finally come out, that he'll be safe there in Paraguay. At least that's the story. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. We got a break coming up, and then we're going to be back to get your calls. I got a lot of stuff here I want to talk to you about, but hey, I know you got a lot of stuff you want to talk to me about. A couple of lines opened up for you, and now's the time to grab them if you were met by a busy signal. 800-989-1480. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show for the Nova M Radio Network. The Nova M Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby sitting in, little Aerosmith there, same old song and dance. We're talking about, in part, about these right-wing twistoids. You know, there's got to be Democrats that commit sex crimes and all that, but don't you think they're outnumbered by the Republicans about 500-1? This story is about a lawyer who formerly led a Michigan Young Republicans organization, has pled guilty to sexual battery for forcing sex acts on a woman while both were at a convention last July. The case went to trial, but they accepted a plea agreement with Michael A. Flory. He faced 5 years in prison, and he'll become a registered sex offender. And he had faced 11 charges, including 8 counts of rape, kidnapping, aggravated burglary, gross sexual imposition. In a statement issued Tuesday, Flory, who has a law office in Okemos, Michigan, and is the former chair of the Michigan Federation of Young Republicans, said accepting the plea would mean less emotional hardship for the victim and witnesses who would have been called to testify. And to you, you creep! I mean, these people, these twistoids, why don't they, like, go somewhere and solve their problems, eh? All right, apparently I hung up on Jeff. Jeff is on LSD in San Diego. I guess that's the way I'm supposed to say it. Jeff, my apologies to you. I'm glad you got back on. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Sure. I just wanted to bring up an issue that I thought I heard on Keith Olbermann, see what you had to think about it, about all these things that just seem to go missing in Iraq, you know, starting with you know, this 190,000 weapons that we can't seem to find, and then there was at the beginning of the war, like billions of dollars that just, you know, disappeared.
Sure.
And also, you know, I heard a story that there was a skimming operation of like 300,000 barrels of Iraqi crude on a daily basis that just seemed to vanish.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, does the same group of people have all this stuff, and if it's one group of people that are taking all this stuff, what are they doing with it?
Well, I don't think it's the same group. I think it's an amazing locus of corruption that everybody is in on it, and this is the one of those deals. If you're not on the take, if you're not taking, you're like some sort of sap. So yeah, so I use that pronoun advisedly, the taxpayer. You and I are being fleeced by Halliburton and KRB, KBR, rather, and any number of these mercenary groups and contractors. The crude is being smuggled. The weapons are being stolen and sold. And at one point, the United States was shipping over on those, what are those big planes, whatever. They had huge skids of American $20 bills, tens of millions of dollars to give out to people. I mean, it just boggles the imagination. It boggles the imagination that Bush has like 27% approval rating. I just I can't believe it. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for bringing it up. Here is Billy Bragg.
Troops in Iraq want to know what they're fighting for. George W. Bush re-election war. I've got the Bush War Blues. I've got the Bush War Blues. I've got the Bush War Blues. I'm gonna spread the news all around.
You got it. Billy Bragg, that's B-R-A-G-G. You can go to BillyBragg.com for great music for peace and social justice. Here's Rich listening to the Internet in New Jersey. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Doing great, sir.
You're doing a great job filling in for Mike Malloy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening and being so kind.
Well, I want to just talk to you about Cindy. You're trying to reminisce.
Cindy Sheehan, yeah.
I first met Cindy Sheehan a year ago out here in New Jersey. She spoke at a United Church of Christ event with Amy Goodman and Greg Palast.
Wow, what a bill.
It was really good. And I was sitting like two rows behind her. And when it was over, I took a chance. I don't know how I'd be received, but I went up to her and said to her, Cindy, I want to tell you, and I meant it from the bottom. I really meant it, and I mean it to this day. I said, you're the bravest person I've ever met. And she just gave me such a, like you said, she's so loving. She gave me the biggest, lovingest hug. And I never forgot how that felt. Like, I just feel how warm and full of love she was.
So she's
even towards George Bush, she holds no hatred.
Yeah, yeah, that is incredible. She's like the polar opposite of George W. Bush,
without question.
Yeah,
she actually made her unofficial announcement of her candidacy 2 weeks ago here in New York in Union Square at an event that was sponsored by the World Can't Wait. You probably know about this Wear Orange Fridays for impeachment in solidarity with the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib, who are illegal detainees under this military commission's tribunals.
Yeah, I have seen that. I didn't know that it was going anywhere. I have to say, I haven't seen too many people wearing orange. Am I wearing orange? I don't have any. No, check my underwear. No.
Maybe you can help by yourself next Friday wearing something orange.
All right.
I just took my orange off, and yeah, I mean, even if it's just a purely symbolic gesture, it sends the right message, okay, that There are people out here, there's a growing constituency of people that want the Congress to do the right thing, uphold the Constitution, and enforce the laws.
Absolutely.
And so she spoke to that. She said something very interesting Friday in Union Square. Then on she said that she felt safer in New York than any place else in the country. And she said, and we were the people that got hit by 9/11 the hardest. And I just thought that was fascinating.
She is indeed an incredibly fascinating person. And I want to see how this all shakes out in California with her independent candidacy against Nancy Pelosi. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. This hour in the bag, is that what I want to say? In any event, got another hour and lots of phone lines. No guests tonight, as you probably noticed, so it's you and me. Peter Werbe in for Mike Malloy. It's the Nova M Radio Network. The call-in number is 800-989-1480. We'll be back after our top-of-the-hour information. This is the Nova M Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. My final hour. I've done 3 days this week. It's been a ball talking to all you folks across the country. If you want to see what I'm doing, you can get me on the Internet, maybe even listen to me that way if you're not in Detroit. In Detroit, you can listen to me on the radio. It's at Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. Phone-in number here. To get on the air is 800-989-1480. We're talking about lots of things, of course, but we're talking a lot about what twistoids these Republicans and conservatives are, that they're the biggest frauds in the world, everything from being these chicken hawks. And by the way, the chicken hawk list of all these Republicans that supported different wars but scammed out of it. And, you know, like none of them have had military service. Well, if you want to call Bush's, come on. And then it lists all the Democrats. All the Democrats are veterans, you know, the older generation of them. Also sexual stuff. I was estimating it's 500 to 1 in terms of Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals who get caught in sexual situations. But for one thing, Democrats aren't hypocrites. So I don't want to go on. I already did a little bit. But so we're talking about the Michigan Republican activist who pled guilty to raping this woman, about the fact that there's a $150,000 grant to a conservative religious group to hire this guy to surf the net for sexual websites and see if there's anything obscene on it. You know what? Some people say it's a nice job. I think you'd get pretty tired of it. It'd be like working in a chocolate factory, right? And then after a while, going, oh man, I don't want that. But here's one. You know, the hypocrisy around abortion. And remember, we were saying last night about how the right wing is able to capture language, and they've been able to pose themselves and then have the MSM, the mainstream media, portray them in the same manner that they self-define. That is pro-life. And they're not pro-life. They're anti-abortion. They're anti-choice. Or, as I say, they're the compulsory pregnancy movement. Well, get this. This is from the Record Courier of what city? Somewhere in Ohio. Several Ohio state representatives who normally take an anti-abortion stance are now pushing pro-choice legislation, sort of, led by Representative John Adams. What a name. A group of state legislators have submitted a bill that would give fathers of unborn children. See, they're using the language already. These are fetuses. They're not unborn children.
that this already gives him a character that has no representation in U.S. or even going back to where our law begins, you know, Anglo-American law. They're not unborn children. They're fetuses. They can't be named. They can't inherit property or wealth. They can't own property, nothing. They don't have any kind of recognition as a child. But here, probably this writer, Mike Hexenbaugh, didn't realize that he's adopted the language of the right. Anyway, they've submitted a bill that would give fathers of unborn children a final say in whether or not an abortion can take place. It's a measure that supporters say would finally give fathers a choice. This is important, says Adams, a Republican from Sydney, Ohio, because there are always two parents, and fathers would have a say in the birth or the destruction of that child. I didn't bring it up to draw attention to myself or to be controversial. Of course not, John. We don't think that for a second. In most cases, when a child is born, the father has financial responsibility for that child, so he should have a say. As written, the bill would ban women from seeking an abortion without written consent from the father of the fetus. There you go. All right, finally. In cases where the identity of the father is unknown, women would be required to submit a list of possible fathers. I mean, let's investigate these Republicans that are submitting this bill. Don't you know they're going to find out that they were, you know, snorting coke with a male prostitute or going to dominatrix? The physician would be forced to conduct a paternity test from the provided list and then seek paternal permission to abort. Claiming to not know the father's identity is not a viable excuse, according to the proposed legislation. Simply put, no father means no abortion. And let's see. Portage County has been among the leading Ohio counties in abortion to birth ratios since abortion was legalized in 1973. I'll bet you that has a lot to do with the poverty level. That's the way you get rid of abortion if you don't want it. But can you imagine these sickos that they are trying to foist this on women? Let me have the list of all the women, of all the men you've had sex with in the last 3 months. I mean, what if they say, none? It's parthenogenesis, right? Virgin birth. Why don't they run that on them? They go, oh, wait a minute, let's get on our cell phone. Somebody has come back. Let's see. Malachi has, or Malachi, you can say it either way, I think. Wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Ian Huff in Phoenix, listen to this. This ain't about me. It's about you. He says, why are you playing the worst music of the 80s tonight? Gosh darn, I hate heavy metal. Come to think of it, heavy metal is the only genre of music I hate. But before you get defensive, there's always two sides to every story. Blueberry Pickin writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Says, there is an entire, Twisted Sister, the tragedy is there is an entire audience of somewhat 40s listening who identify with Twisted Sister like an, autonomic response. Yet I'll be damned if I can recall the periodic table. I like that. A couple more emails here, I think. Hope you don't mind this email. I have not liked what's been going on for quite a while. Did not know what to do. And then I had an idea. Car flags. You know, like they have little American flags and they have sports teams and what have you. Often there is. They have an American flag on one side of the car, you know, a little flag out the side window. And then the other side, they'll have like the Detroit Red Wings here in our town. Anyway, I am moving as fast as possible and have completed the website, usaneedsyou.com. usaneedsyou.com. Pass it on. This is my way of action. This is from Don. $12 and you can get a flag. Also, if you can, I'm sorry, folks. I have said about my website more times tonight. But I have a lot of people say, where do you get bumper stickers? Where do you get lawn signs? Where do you get this? Where do you get that? You can go to my website, PeterWerbe, WERBE.com, PeterWerbe.com. Go down on the left side and there's a little thing that says paraphernalia. And you can get peace and social justice paraphernalia. None for me. I don't sell anything. I don't, this is all just information. And one of the things that it has on there are Bush poop flags. You know these bad citizens who I think are mostly Republicans who their dogs poop in, like, lawns and in parks, and then they don't clean it up? I'm convinced it's almost all Republicans that do this, by the way. And so they have these little flags with Bush's face on them, and you can really make them yourself. And then you, when you see like a big pile of poop like that, you take your little Bush flag and you push it into the pile of dog poop. So, and there's all sorts of pictures on this website where you can get it from. Yeah, I know. Who's the twistoid here? I hear you. Let's go back to our phones. 800-989-1480. Here's Andrew listening to the quake in San Francisco. Andrew, hi. It's Peter Werby
for
Mike
Peter
Malloy.
Werby.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, first, please understand that I do have a slight speech impediment, and I am not drunk, and I'll try and speak as best I can.
Well, thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about the whole credit injection economic thing that's going on.
All right, you're going to have to do it quickly, unfortunately.
I'll try. Basically, it all started when everybody got invitations to refinance their loans or to buy a house with little or nothing down.
Right.
And they got these adjustable rate mortgages sold to them by unscrupulous mortgage brokers, or perhaps just because that was the only thing they could afford.
Right, sure. I think that's more
like it. But then what happens is the rate expires, the mortgage goes up, and people can't afford their houses. Now the banks own the houses, or they own the paper that they're bought with.
Well, it's not just, on the other hand, Andrew, it's not just the banks. These mortgages are immediately sold off as investment. It's not like your neighborhood bank.
Exactly. They wrap a whole bunch of mortgages together and sell them to a company or to investors. But when those mortgages don't perform, then because people are defaulting, the bank ends up with a house that does them no good.
They don't want it. Sure, no.
Exactly.
They take a
loss. So what happens is the government, who is the creditor of last resort, says, okay, rather than have all your money tied up in this house that nobody wants, because if we do that, they're going to drive all the credit. No, there's going to be no money available for people who want loans for whatever, or people who are businesses that need loans. So what we'll do is we will buy these bundles of paper, or we'll guarantee that the government will pay them. We'll honor this debt, and that way the inflation rate is kept at 5.25%.
Well, it's a hell of a way to run an economic system, Andrew. I think you hit it right on the nose, to be sure. And, I mean, it's typical of the way speculative capital has dominated world markets and how they always use this word volatile. Well, the whole S-house could come down on us. The Fed, as you indicated, has intervened. Is this going to be enough? Is it going to be Black Monday on Monday? I don't know. All right, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll be back to get your calls at 800-989-1480. Peter Werby on the Nova M Radio Network for Mike Malloy. I'll be right back. Back to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby on the Nova M Radio Network. 800-989-1480. Evil Ways by Santana. These all sort of fit, don't they? Talking about Bushco. Hey, I got an email here from John. Pardon me. You know what happens? I figured out when I twist around to look at this screen, it grabs my neck. Why don't I move my whole head around here? John writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I'm looking for where to send Cindy Sheehan some money. She says, do you know the address? Lots of money to Cindy Sheehan right now would talk very loudly to Nancy Pelosi. I hope a lot of people get this. Now, I don't know, was it on this show? But anyway, there was a number of Cindy Sheehan
for Congress sites. Ooh, maybe that was it. But in any event, I went to the Google, as Bush says, and there was 2 million entries for Cindy Sheehan. So I didn't get that. I didn't go. But maybe, how about this? Somebody in New York State, either, let me say, New York or New Jersey or Florida, so I don't get 30 emails about this, send me the Sheehan for Congress website, okay? So just those three states. If not, then we'll maybe go to a couple of others. All right, let's go back to our phones in the meantime. Here is Mitch. He's listening on XM Satellite Radio in Illinois. Hey, Mitch, it's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Hi.
Hi. The earlier caller was talking about,
about the National Health Service?
A service where everybody would have a national service. That's correct.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something. When you said, oh, come on, did you blank out or was somebody tickling you?
My phone. Just as soon as you hit that, I've been on hold for a little while. I'm starting to get my battery beeps. sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm right now getting ready to go into an automotive factory where a large number of people work 6 days a week, 6 hours a day. And I see this all over the country, and it's just shocking to me. These people don't make enough money to go to another job. It's because they've lost their other jobs that they're going in. And what they do is they fix problems that are happening because of the stuff's being made in foreign factories.
Now, this is an auto supplier. This is not one of the big three, is it?
I can't say anything like that.
Well, you could say it's the big three or not.
Four of them.
Big four?
No, four the big three.
Oh, in other words, it's a supplier, a contractor. Okay, yeah.
Right. This is a place where what's called containment's done.
Right.
When a problem's found, they fix it.
And no union.
Right. They've all lost their factory jobs from when they used to work in the United States. There's millions of these people.
Yeah.
They're not on unemployment. Nobody's talking about them anywhere. Like I said, they work 4 to 6 hours a day. They're all staggered. They get called in at random times. They can't get a second job to help make ends meet because, you know, they're working the random times.
Sure.
But, some of them are making $15 an hour, but most of them are working at $9 to $10 an hour.
Yeah, well, $15 an hour is the median wage for the year. That would be about $30,000 a year. But once you get – think about that. 50% of the people make $30,000 in this country, the wealthiest country in the world, make $30,000 or less a year. 50% of us. I mean, that's a staggering amount. And more and more of that kind of employment is what typifies – the wage system. Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Scott. He's listening to KPTK in Federal Way, Washington. Go ahead. You're on the air.
You know, I would like to know what these Democrats seem to think is an important issue to stand up for. You know, I really do. I am so sick of this representative government that, you know, and to the point that it just makes me want to scream. I'm just tired of this kind of stuff, and I am tired of all of these excuses and these capitulations. They get on these shows and make excuses for why they can't do that. For example, Bernie Sanders, and I know technically he's not really a Democrat, he's an independent, but he caucuses with them.
Sure.
You know, the same statement over and over again about why we can't impeach, why we can't do this, it's more...
They've always got those. Scott, I got to go to a break. Thank you for your call. We'll be right back at 800-989-1480. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, sitting in for Mike. Mike will be back Tuesday, I think it is. And on Monday, Sam Cedar will be sitting in this, well, not in this chair. I'm in Detroit. He'll be in New York, but doing Mike's show. Now, a number of you, thank you. In fact, I'm glad I didn't say everybody in the country write and tell me what the Cindy Sheehan for Congress website is. But it is SheehanForCongress.us. And it's S-H-E-E-H-A-N for Congress, SheehanForCongress.us. But somebody wrote in and said that they wanted to make a donation, but I didn't look all the way through it. But I don't seem to see anywhere here. But she also says that she's also has SheehanForCalifornia.com, SheehanForCongress.us.org, and .net to cover it all. Also, some of you remember, in fact, I was thinking about this a little earlier today. There was a caller whose name, he said, was Christian. And he was a conservative caller. And he was the guy, some of you may remember if you're listening last night, that said all six branches of government or something like that or of this country were controlled by liberals. And he said, like, the Supreme Court, stuff like that. You know, didn't make a lot of sense. And I just my brain went kind of dead, and thinking, well, I don't even know what to say to this guy. And either someone called or emailed me and said they couldn't believe I let this guy get away with this. But I'll tell you, increasingly, I just almost don't have the energy to respond to somebody like that. You folks make me think. You folks make me examine and re-examine. You make me, when I'm going to present something, I said, these people, and I'm not schmoozing you, I'm not going to be here on Monday, so I don't got to give you a load of to get on your good side or anything like that. But I know one little mistake, like remember the woman last night that I said went instead of gone, and she said, she's out of here because my grammar is so bad. Mostly, though, it's political stuff. You folks are really sharp. And when this guy calls and says what he does, I can't even get my brain in gear. I just think, how can I get rid of this guy as soon as possible? So, the reason I brought that up is Rod wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, I'm an unemployed radio host, and Christian, and it's in quotes, is what I used to call a chronic troll ringer. I've heard him call many other programmers on the liberal channels of XM and Sirius. He always uses the pseudonym Christian for his own obvious reasons. However, his backstory changes along with his approach in order to invoke a negative reaction for all his twisted self-aggrandizement. I'm no psychological expert, but I detect a flawed individual who is screaming out for help. I feel sorry for him. Yeah. Rod in Atlanta. All right, let's go back to your calls. The call-in number here, 800-989-1480. And let's see, this is Preston. Preston's listening on the Internet in Denver. Hey, Preston, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, I heard Christian as well. And I imagine he's probably heard some of the authors who are saying that kind of thing. Bernard Goldberg, people like Victor Davis Hanson, they talk about the liberal takeover, you know, liberals under the bed and that kind of thing.
That it was so, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And I must say, I'm also chuckling about an earlier caller you had this evening, the person who implied Cheney's cannibalism. I thought that was a great remark. And there are actually old-time Republicans who would have noticed the same thing, people like Teddy Roosevelt. I think Tom Hartman's done a great job of reviving the history of FDR. But Teddy Roosevelt, he talked a lot about the same figures who, quote, he said, were cynically and brutally indifferent to the interests of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I found this great article called Teddy Roosevelt versus WorldCom, and it's about how he railed against the kind of pathological tendencies of some of the super rich, some of the antisocial tendencies of the cultural dominators that we have running this society.
Well, Roosevelt, the first one, had certainly had a dark side to him, too.
Definitely.
Quite a racist, but that was not unusual for presidents at that time.
Yes, racist and the superiority attitude towards Latin Americans, the invasions and the violence. the militarism, huge problem, and that we can't overlook that stuff. But I do think we need to dig up his attitudes towards the economic system that you were wondering about and that a lot of people are wondering about these days with the stock market going all over the place. Roosevelt was very much in favor of regulation and not just attending to the rules that we have, but he wanted a radical reconcept, just redesign the rules altogether.
It may be that capital has completely run away from human control, that what Emerson said in the 1840s or 50s, that things are in the saddle and ride man. And we think that we're controlling this economic system. I mean, to some extent, like I say, there is this international ruling class and this national ruling class that certainly does control lots of events.
Yeah.
But things may have gotten beyond our grasp that we've set this machine that no longer responds to its master.
It's a mix. I think there are some elements that are out of our control, and then there are elements that are very much in our control. People were talking about the banks and some of the fees and interest rates and things going on there. But then, again, we have credit unions, which I think can be a lot more consumer, customer friendly. And you were in a place, Venezuela, where there are hundreds and hundreds of cooperatives
right.
that are worker-owned, that there's transparency in, accountability towards. They're the owners. It's not just the shareholders, but other stakeholders in society. Whether it's government regulators, or it's environmentalists, or it's consumer groups, or women's groups, or minority groups, they're all playing a part. So,
well, one thing, speaking about Venezuela, whenever I just filled up my gas tank today, and there should be, on one hand, a recognition that we are part of a process that we can't control, that I can't control if I want to get to work here, that poisons the environment, is the basis of wars, that is oil and refining the gas and then finally burning it. On the other hand, I only get gas from Citgo, where
Great.
The profits, rather than going to pay for some gouging oil company based on Saudi oil. You ever get these emails that they say, don't buy Citgo, all the money goes to the dictator Chavez, and they say buy, and I'm thinking, what do they want us to do? Buy ExxonMobil? They get the money from Saudi, or they get the oil from Saudi Arabia? At least I know that portions of the profits from the Citgo oil company go back to the Venezuelan poor, to these misiones, to these projects and collectives that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And just today on NPR, I heard about how Hugo Chavez was assisting, Venezuela was assisting Bolivia in their own development of their natural gas. And, that Bolivia had an indigenous person elected as president, I think, is a powerful message about transitions, positive transitions going on in this world. It's really remarkable. And here in the empire, we have some good things going on, too. I don't know if you've heard about the Green Festivals, but greenfestivals.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's about large and small businesses alike. Even GE is starting to see the wealth that can be created.
They have these big conferences all around the country. Here in Detroit, they have a weekend beginning. In fact, it's probably almost begun, but it really officially starts next weekend. They have something called the Dream Cruise, where there will be a million people on the streets on this main street of Detroit, Woodward Avenue, watching thousands and thousands of classic cars, and many of them from the 50s. These enormous V8s and people peeling rubber, as we used to say, and all that.
Okay.
But this weekend, tomorrow, they have a green cruise.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. In fact, have you heard about the River Rouge plant or the Red River plant? Rouge River.
Yeah.
Apparently Ford got together with this.
The Rouge plant. The Rouge plant, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the plant that they've built there, are building there, is a model of this new approach to green design, natural capitalism, and using, instead of creating a bunch of waste and toxic effluents.
They have a grass roof. They have lawn on top of it and all that. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that, and that's a good model. But
it's not everything.
Don't start me talking about Ford.
Okay.
All right, Preston, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate it. Thank you a lot here. I was just going to go to another caller. Well, right now, at a minimum, I can take Barry and Mary and Sean, but I might be able to take you as well. So take a chance. Grab the phone, 800-989-1480. That's the Nova M Radio Network call-in number. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show, and I'll be back to get your call. Welcome back to the Nova M Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you. And Ian Huff, who is that? Okay, I have no guess. I've heard that before, though. All right, let's go to Sean. He's listening on KPOJ in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you.
Hi, Peter. This is the biggest story of the year, and it isn't over yet.
You mean about the stock market?
Yep, this subprime mortgage contagion that has nearly frozen the banking system and has the potential to ruin the entire economy exists because several Wall Street brokerages have several of these mortgages and high-risk hedge funds that are intertwined with an infinite amount of other financial instruments whose value is now in question.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that what we've allowed to occur? These guys that tell us they know better than we do, so they're going to set an economic system up like this. Yeah, if it doesn't crash this time, I'm not convinced. We'll see on Monday. If it doesn't crash this time, it will someday.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, over the last 2 days, the same government that has no money for socialized medicine, no money for Katrina, no money for public infrastructure of all kinds, over the last 2 days, this government has put in $60 billion to prop up the banking system and basically prop up capitalism itself.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's pure fascism. It's socialism for the rich. It's a complete double standard. If you or I get in any kind of financial trouble, it's tough luck. But when big business gets in financial trouble, here comes socialism for the rich. It's just it's a travesty.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Ian, I can hear you talking. I hope it's not going out over the air. Sean, actually, that threw me off, too, what I was going to say. I'll think about it. My mother always used to say, if it's important, I'll think about it, or I'll remember it. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Now, darn, there was a response I was going to have about that, but I guess Mom was probably right. Here's Barry on KPOJ, Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Barry? Me?
Yeah.
Mr. Werbe, hi.
Thank you. Dad, there's a call for you. Oh, you mean me. You mean me. Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, hey, I'm homeless, but once a week I stay with a very nice couple from the Zen community of Oregon, and I was going to watch Charlie Rose, and Henry Kissinger was on. I turned to Channel 23 Free Speech TV from 12 midnight till 15 till 1:45. It was about the Federal Reserve and the IRS.
Okay.
Both of them. And in case I get lost or anything, one thing I want to get across, it's like a cinnamon roll is made out of sweet roll. The cinnamon in there flavors the wholeness of the roll, just like the IRS with flaunting its authority without constitutional backing does something to season our society.
Uh-huh.
Yes, well, in 1916, people took a case before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court found that there was nothing, it was something was lacking about an income tax. And then I've forgotten. Can you help me with that, or do you know?
No, it's I don't know. I mean, the Federal Reserve was set up. The income tax was instituted. It was held to be constitutional.
Yep.
All that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, recently there. Oh, as a matter of fact, I went to the congregation tonight, and our someone in our congregation there. Brother, I guess, was one of these tax evaders.
Yeah.
This is Temple Beth Israel. I should mention it, but she's a wonderful person.
Well, Barry, come on. We're right at the end of the show.
Okay, anyway, a number of people were tried, were held for tax evasion, and it was found that in no place in the Constitution is there anywhere where it says that you have to file a 1040 form, so all of the people were acquitted.
You know what? They weren't acquitted. All these people that say that they've found this loophole where they don't have to pay personal tax are all being prosecuted. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. Let's get some information from Mary. She's listening to Winds in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, about this Paragay. I'm all of a sudden, right at the end, this always happens in radio, Mary. The announcer's voice stops working. You can't pronounce one word after another, unfortunately. But you were going to give us some information on Bush's Paraguayan land deal, hey?
Yeah, I was talking to your screener about it. I think this was the second story. Can I mention where I got it from?
Sure, sure.
WayneMadsonReport.com.
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed him, but tell me quick, we may be running out of time.
Well, he apparently bought more than 100,000 acres in the Chaco region.
Mm-hmm. Bush did.
Chaco.
Chaco, yeah.
It sits atop huge natural gas reserves, according to sources. And do you remember when the two twins were there and they were partying in the hotel room? And
they were party
around?
Animals, yeah.
That's when they were there. Jenna was there to sign the papers. That's when it occurred. And
So it's a little investment. It's not a hideaway or a getaway.
I don't know.
Huh?
I have my suspicions because in Paraguay he can't be prosecuted for war crimes.
Huh.
And 100,000 acres. And here's another detail. The bush land is close to a new U.S. military installation. It is also nearby a huge tract of land purchased by Sun Moon, the guy who owns the Washington Times.
Right.
And that sits astride Latin America's largest water aquifer.
Wow. So it gets curiouser and curiouser.
Gas
next we'll know.
And water.
There'll be black water will be down there. Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you for the information.
Thank you. And I buy Citgo, too.
You buy Citgo. I go for Citgo.
All the time.
All right. Thank you so much. And Ian, do we have time for another call? No, we don't. Hey, it has been a real swell being with you the last, 2 days last week, 3 days this week. Ian Huff couldn't have done it without you in Phoenix, where Nova M Radio Network is headquartered. And Mike Malloy will be back on Tuesday, Sam Cedar in on Monday. It's really been swell. If you want to keep in touch, go to my website, Peter Werbe, WERBE.com, and hopefully we'll meet further down the trail. Have a good one.